making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us for another week of Abounding Grace as we go back to the Word of God, open the Word that we might better discern the Lord's will, understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might live in full comfort and joy to know that as we look to Christ, all of our sins are forgiven through His precious blood. The scriptures, of course, show us Christ in every single way. I think of what Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified." And when Jesus was resurrected, and when He taught those two men on the road to Emmaus, what did He do but open the scriptures, open Moses and the law and the prophets, and showed them all the things written in the Old Testament concerning Him? Christ is found on every page of Scripture, and every sermon should direct us to Him, the gospel, as we call it. Well, today we're going to look at, in this week, Psalm 16. The Psalms are wonderful, wonderful expressions of God's people in the past going through the real truths and the realities of life. They present to us the real perspective of life as they are full of praises, laments, which are deep sorrows that they are experiencing in this life. They are honest. And so today we want to look at one of those psalms that provides great comfort as we are again turned again to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I have emphasized in Abounding Grace often throughout these radio broadcasts is that the Christian should have an underlining joy that surpasses anything that the world understands or can know. But I'm not always encouraged by the way this is emphasized in our day. The way that people seem to understand that verse, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice," seems to be that no matter the situation that we are faced with, if you are a Christian, then you won't feel heartache or pain or sorrow. And if you really are, you're not doing as the Bible says. And so we think if we can get people to transcend the reality that they are facing and put them into a state of happiness, they can better see the Lord's hand. And that's why I have really been highly critical of the way music has been used today. It's been very dishonest as people are forced into an artificial state of manipulation to sort of raise the emotion above the actual truth so that people can numb and dull what they're going through. And praise music is just used for this today. While we don't look at the honest truth of what we're facing and the fact that the scriptures show us people who deeply lamented. They didn't try to transcend what they were facing. They had to face it head on and through it. And it was through the trial that their songs came. The Bible comes to us with God's people who often intensely suffered. And many of the Psalms bring us these laments on behalf of the hearts of those who were going through some great trial. And they were honest about it. They had to go through it. To numb it as if it just isn't there is exactly the wrong way of approaching the whole thing. God wants us to see through the trial His deliverance. God desires that through the affliction, we see His hand of mercy and deliverance as we long for our heavenly inheritance. You have heard me say again and again that the Psalms give a realistic view of life, and they tell us honestly that life is hard under the sun. They don't paint a false picture. We have not reached our glory state yet. Right now, we're traveling through the wilderness and follow the path of our Lord, which is a path of suffering. This morning and the rest of this week, we come to a psalm that is known as David's Jewel. It's a beautiful psalm because it paints for us the true reality of life for the Christian, regardless of how things may seem. It runs in a similar vein as that of Asaph, Psalm 73, which many of you know well. "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped." Why, he says? Well, because the wicked. When I look at their life, they don't seem to go through the things that I'm going through. And why is that? If I'm a believer in God who is good, why does he allow these very hard things often to stir up my life? He was obviously going through some great affliction, and as the psalmist Asaph looks around him and sees the prosperity of the godless, he begins to be troubled in his heart. Is it worth it? What benefit is it if really to believe in the God of heaven and earth, if the wicked prosper and the godly suffer? What benefit is all of this? And Asaph deeply lamented this reality. What is the answer? What is the reality? Well, today we have it in Psalm 16. This has really become a favorite for me, and I pray that it would for you too. If you are listening today, go back today or tonight when you're off work and before bed and meditate on this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. It runs in the similar vein as Psalm 73, but what it does is it gives us a more developed and a full heavenly perspective about the true reality of our lives, even though what we face and see often at surface is unexplainable and seems to attack everything that I believe about the goodness of God, His promises, His love, His faithfulness, and so on, and what really is in store for those who love Him. The issue of Psalm 16 this morning is simply to impress upon our hearts that the life of the believer is the truly blessed life, for he has been given everything. And if there is some doubt about God's goodness and love to you, well, then it is to this psalm that you must come. Some doubt because of this thing you may be facing or going through. In the first few verses, the psalmist breathes a beautiful confession of faith to open the psalm. Listen to verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. The first thing that strikes us is this word, preserve me. It is the word for uphold or sustain. Watch over me. Don't let go. And immediately we're struck with the fact that the psalmist is in the midst of some great affliction, some great crisis. Some trial has overwhelmed him, and he's breathing forth an expressive prayer, a cry for the God of heaven and earth to hold tight upon him and not let go. Whatever he's going through, whatever this is, it has really shaken him up. Whatever this is, his foremost cry is that God has to hold on to him because he knows that through this, in his own power, there is no way he is going to be able to hold on to God. Have you ever felt that way? I'm sure you have. What is he going through here? What did he witness? Well, we don't know specifically. The psalm, of course, is surrounded with the reality of death. And so whatever this is, he is in the heart of his afflictions. And it may be that his death is coming upon him. Maybe he was told he has only a certain amount of time to live. Maybe this was his child's death. Maybe this was a loved one's death, his parent or a friend or a sister or a brother. In some way, I'm so glad we're not told, because then this psalm would lose its real power and import for us. Whatever it is, it was one of those great tragedies of life, so great that his cry is, Lord, you have to uphold me through this. Please, oh, preserve me, oh God, because if you don't, this trial is going to drive me away from you. I don't know how many of you have ever been in this sort of mindset or trial, and this kind of expressive cry flows forth, but if you have, the words of David are coming alive right now. The first thing we notice here is that his prayer is for God's almighty hand to uphold him through this. You see, there are always two paths that one can take at a time like this. In Psalm 73, Asaph said, look, God may be good to Israel, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped, meaning that the suffering he was facing almost drove him away from the Lord. Because he said, look, if I'm truly one of the Lord's, why in the world do I have to face this? The wicked don't face this. Look, they prosper, don't they? They seem to go on without any trials or pains. Asaph was perilously close to a descent away from the Lord in bitterness and in anger. And of course, this does happen, doesn't it? Some great tragedy comes and the tragedy puts one to the test. In whom is my trust? And some run. David presents to us here the right response in tragedy, the best perspective through trial, the right way, the path of not descent, but ascent, as painful as it may be. Preserve me, O God. Hold me. Watch over me. Do not let go, for in you I put my trust. You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. O Lord, I put my trust in you that what you are subjecting me to is right and good, for you are my God. It is a beautiful expression here of trust in the Lord's providence and wisdom. What is amazing here is verse 2. And this is where we'll close today. David has used the three most known and powerful names of God revealed in the scriptures. Uphold me, God, Elohim in the Hebrew. Uphold me, Elohim, powerful one or strong one is what it means. I have put my trust in you, O my soul. You have said to Jehovah, I am, that is the I am who I am. Remember in the burning bush? O my soul, you have said to Jehovah, you are my Adonai. Now we can put this together. O you, Elohim, my strong and powerful God, in whom I can take full refuge, you are also my I am, who determines what is right as the self-existent and sufficient one, and who is able to bring me through this as the Adonai of my life, the Lord of my life. David, you see, has stepped into the tragedy, and I want to emphasize that, not above, not around, not behind. He has stepped into the tragedy to see that something is far greater and far beyond him in this crisis. And so he breathes confidence in his Lord that even this is not beyond the Lord's sovereignty. And we need to remember this. It would be a horrible thing in this life if we thought things happen by chance. And there's so much of this world that goes through that things happen by chance. That would be horrible to rise in the morning that I think I could get up and by some freak coincidence, I could lose a loved one or my life could just be taken because I drove out in the middle of an intersection and was hit or whatever. Our cry as Christians is that when the things of life happen for which there is no answer, our cry must be to the Lord to simply uphold us, that our feet might not slip and that we might understand that He is in control. Nothing happens by chance in this life. Not even one hair can fall from our head without it being His will. And that's what Jesus' comforting words, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. It's when we come to Christ that this comfort invades our lives so that when trials come, we are able to have perspective. We are able to see through the trial, not deny it, but see through it, that God has a greater purpose and that God has promised all things work together for the good for those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Do you know Jesus today? If you have believed in Jesus, if you have come to Him and repented and turned from your sins, you have this comfort today to know that Christ is in control and that in looking to Him, He will bring whatever comes down your path for good, for His glory, and the salvation of your very soul. If you would like to know more about this Jesus, join us this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. You may visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for joining us. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.